Father, we thank you that we can meet in your name. And we thank you for your precious word, Lord. We thank you for the power of prayer. We thank you for the invitation to come boldly to the throne of grace. We thank you that you hear us. We thank you that you speak to us through your word. And as we look at your word again today, Lord, may we listen to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, moving right along through Psalms, we're going to be in 119 for about 11 weeks. So don't get too excited about getting to Psalm 120. But some people think we could do 22 Psalms with 8 verses per Psalm. We have, as you know, the longest chapter in the book, and 176 verses divided up into 22 acrostic 8-verse stanzas. And this was helpful for the Hebrew children to learn this psalm. It's like us with the ABCs, you know. And it's truly supernatural, in my opinion. There's so many commentaries written on Psalm 119. You could spend a year looking at it. But the introductions, I'm just going to copy some of these as we go through, because some of them I thought were quite good. Here is one today that I read. It says, Andrew Bonar tells of a simple Christian in a farmhouse who had meditated in the Bible through all the way through 3 times. This is precisely what this psalmist has done. He has gone past reading into meditation. Like Martin Luther, David had shaken every fruit tree in God's garden and gathered golden fruit therefrom. I like that. Most, though, this is what I really like. Most, says Martin Booz, read their Bibles like cows that stand in the thick grass and trample underfoot the finest flowers and herbs. Isn't that a beautiful illustration? May we not do that. There's so much in this psalm that we could just trample it underfoot and say, I know I don't understand much of any of it, or I kind of understand all of it, but not really. But each verse is really not connected to any other verse. It's amazing how the Holy Spirit put this together. I don't think any man could ever do this. Of course, no man could write the Bible at all without the Holy Spirit. We know that. But I don't even know, short of a really fantastic computer that could come up with 176 verses that all make sense, that are all start the first letter of every verse with a different letter of the alphabet. And it doesn't translate. And when you translate into English, you lose all of that, because you look in English and there's no commonality with the letter of the first word. But that's because of translation. But as you look at these verses, you can read them. It's all two-part verses. Every single verse is a two-part verse, a two-sentence verse, or a two-clause verse. And they all make sense, and yet you could spend an hour on every verse in this psalm and still only scratch the surface. I think you can say that about pretty much any part of God's word, because it's so deep. Today, we'll look at a couple of stanzas. Now, about a year ago, when we were out in the courtyard, we read through the first 5 stanzas, the first 40 verses, 8 at a week for a while. But for those of you who were there, this repeating isn't going to hurt us any. I don't think reminding us any. You were there, John. I know you were there. So we did this one. I believe we did this verse on the 2nd of June last year. So it's just about a year ago, plus a little bit. Okay. So Psalm 119. Now, as in the Beatitudes here, we have a blessed and then we have in italics R. So that R is really not in the original in either the Old Testament or the New Testament. No, I don't want to make too big a deal out of this, but it's not necessarily blessed are the undefiled in the way, and although it is, but just blessed the undefiled in the way. It's the blessing. And blessed those who keep his testimonies. Blessed, as Pastor Chuck would often say, can be translated, oh, how happy, Oh, how happy. Oh, how happy. And if you want to contract the first verse into kind of a definition of the whole psalm, it is, blessed are those who walk in the law of the Lord. That's what is all the way through this psalm, really. Not necessarily just about walking, but if you expand walk as you can expand it, that's pretty much what we're talking about. Being in the Word of God. Many people see the Word of God in every one of the 176 verses. Some say there's two verses, 132 and 122, that you don't see that. Another one that would add another verse. Some say there's six verses that don't have it. Depends on what you want to look at. But they're all about the Word of God. Whether it has commandments or testimonies or precepts or judgments or ordinances, those are all kind of specific descriptions of the Word. And those are in these verses all the way through. So blessed are the undefiled. Now, the undefiled means blameless. This does not mean that a person who's walking in accordance with the Word of God is sinless. But it does mean the sin is not imputed to your account. If you're walking with the Lord and you're constantly, when reminded by the Holy Spirit, to confess your sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, and He will not bring them up again. So we can say then, blessed. That's a blessing, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's a tremendous blessing. So the undefiled means you're walking righteously. You're walking in accordance with the will of God, with the Word of God. He's not saying you got to walk perfectly. You're not going to walk perfectly in these fleshly bodies. We will not walk perfectly until we have our glorified body free from sin and brought to perfection. So if you're struggling with sin, join the crowd. And if you're not struggling with sin, maybe you're not even saved, because that's the only way you can figure I'm not sinning. I don't know. God hasn't hit me over the head. I guess I'm doing really fine. No, that's not just mean that you're not sinning. So blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed those who what? Keep His testimony. So we have an obedience here, keeping His testimonies and then seeking Him. And how do we seek Him? Half-heartedly? Never. We're to seek Him with the whole heart. Now, you'll see almost all of these Psalms, verses through here, really have an ideal which you can't reach. I cannot say, I always seek the Lord with my whole heart. Can we? I don't think so. But when we get to the end, I love the last verse, because that kind of brings it back into perspective a little bit. It says, I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Okay, I can relate to that one. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. And then it says, seek your servant, for I do not forget your commandments. So it puts it all into perspective, as otherwise this looks like an unattainable thing in a way. I got to be perfect all the time. I can't do that. But this is what the Lord wants. This is the standard that we have. You know, when we have in Ephesians 5, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave Himself for her, that's not given to us that that's what you got to do, because no man can do that. But that's the bar that you're attaining to. And the closer you get to that bar, the better your life is, right? And so the same here, I believe, in that blessed are those who keep His testimonies and who seek. So you continue to keep, you continue to seek, and you continue to walk. Seek Him and walk in His ways. In the next verse, seek Him with the whole heart, that is. Then the next verse, they also do no iniquity. Now, again, you're not going to find people that aren't transgressing, aren't sinning. But it's not imputed as iniquity if you're repenting and asking for forgiveness from it. So you're not building up iniquity in your life if you're really walking in accordance with the will of God. You might think of David, you might think of Saul. David was a rascal sinner, wasn't he? But God says, the only man He says, He's a man with my own heart, or heart after me. And because David was always repentant, always repentant. Saul, probably, that we don't have, I don't know exactly, all that horrific of sins by him compared to David, and maybe depends on what you think, but He was filled with pride, and he always made excuses. He would never admit his guilt. And so Samuel tore his robe, after Saul tore his robe, and said, okay, the Lord's going to take the kingdom away from you. But he left Saul in power for 40 years, same number of years as he left David, as he left Solomon. And so we see here, though, that they also do know iniquity. They walk in his ways. Then you have commanded us to keep your precepts diligently. This is another command, and it's another one that we aspire to. We know what we're to do, even if we fail from doing it all the time. Then, oh, that my ways were directed to keep your statutes. That's a great prayer, isn't it? Oh, Lord, direct my ways to keep your statutes. Another we'll get to, 133, a little longer on, is direct my steps by your word, and let no iniquity have dominion over me. Another similar verse to this one. Verse 6. Then I would not be ashamed when I look into all your commandments. So 5 and 6 do have a tie in there together with the then. I would not be ashamed when I look into all your commandments if I am keeping your statutes. Now, there's some I wills in here. Verse 7. I will praise you with uprightness of my heart when I learn your righteous judgments. So again, that's an aspiring thing. We want to praise him, don't we? We want to praise him. And then I will keep your statutes. Oh, do not forsake me utterly. He will never forsake you. But when we leave him, we feel like he's forsaken us. So that's the Aleph, that's the A, you might say, if it were an acrostic in the English language. And the next letter is Beit, or Beth. Verse 9, question, how can a young man cleanse his way? Answer, by taking heed according to your word. So important to see us at all ages heeding God's word. That's what cleanses us. Then verse 10, back to the heart again, with my whole heart I have sought you. How often does that fit you? How frequently would you say, and I'm not asking for percentages or show of hands or anything else, I'm asking for you with your relationship with the Lord. How often, Lord, am I seeking you with my whole heart? And the, right along with that, oh, let me not wander from your commandments. How we wander. You know, have you ever, say, prayed a prayer, maybe like the model prayer, that you know really well, and you can't even get through it without your mind wandering in somewhere else? Has that ever happened to you? I know John Corson recommends pray out loud. It's harder to let your mind wander if you're praying out loud. I think that's me anyway. I think it helps me. But even there I can wander. I'm speaking out loud and my mind is still off somewhere else. And so I go do it again. So maybe I get 3/4 of the way through it this time and then it wanders. And can't you concentrate on that from beginning to end? And I try it again. And maybe I'll make it, maybe I won't. But this is what the desire should be in our heart, that I seek him with my whole heart and let me not wander, W-A-N-D-E-R, not W-O-N-D-E-R, drift away from your commandments. And then verse 11, of course, is great inspiration for memorizing some scripture. Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. I think that is so valid. How many words do you have in your heart if you never see a written Bible again, if you got put into prison or whatever, how many words would you take with you? How many words would you have hidden in your heart? I know all of us would like to say, oh, I wish I knew more. At least I think so anyway. That's what I think anyway. I wish I knew more. And then the blessing to the Lord in, again, it's not blessing are you in a way, it's blessed you. But blessed you, O Lord. That's so good. To bless the Lord. How many times do you bless the Lord versus you asking the Lord to bless you or to bless others? I mean, we say, God bless, God bless, God bless. Or I do anyway. Everybody I meet. kind of, and I don't know how correct that is, but I ought to be blessing the Lord equally or more, right? But bless the Lord, teach me your statutes. And then we have these various statements, 13, 14, 15, 16, declared, rejoice, meditate, delight, and not forget, all related to the Lord or to his word. So verse 13, with my lips I have declared all the judgments of your mouth. Now, how many of these things really fit me or fit you, or how often? With my lips I have declared all the judgments of your mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies. How often are we rejoicing in the way of his testimonies? Doing what he says to do, in other words. I rejoice in the way of your testimonies as much as in all riches. Verse 15, I will meditate. I will meditate on your precepts and contemplate. Meditate and contemplate almost mean the same thing. But I will meditate on your precepts and meditate or contemplate your ways. And then verse 16, I will delight myself in your statutes. So 14 said, I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies as much as in all riches. 16 says, I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your word. Father, as we look at these precious verses, we recognize in some of these we just scarcely scratch the surface. But Lord, you're looking at our heart, not at our proficiency really in doing legalistic things. You just want our heart. And you want our love, and you want our whole heart, Lord, not just a part of it, but our whole heart. So help us to move closer to you. Help us to know that your word is you speaking to us, and how we need it, and how we want it, and how we want to be obedient to you. So guide us today in this time of prayer together. Bless those who are not here. And lead us by your Spirit that we would pray in accordance with your will. In Jesus' name. So let us pray. Lord, we do thank you. Guide us as we continue prayer and going through this Psalm 119, Lord. Aspiring to do what you would have us to do, because if you love us, and the closer we can aspire to these things that you tell us, the better our life will be, more fruitful, just the better it will be. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. This parable came to my mind as I was just thinking about legalism and about trying really hard to do these things that we are to do, right? And very familiar, but out of Luke chapter 18, Jesus spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank you that I'm not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other, for everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Amen. Let's close with this song. It's on the back page of your notes. above all powers, above all kings, above all nature and all created things, above all wisdom and all the ways of men, you were here before the world began.
Above all powers, above all kings, above all nature and all created things, above all wisdom and all the ways of man, you were here before the world began. Above all kings, above all thrones, above all wonders the world has ever known, above all wealth and treasures of the earth, there's a way to measure up your worth.
Can you imagine Jesus on the cross thinking of you? The songwriter says, you took the fall and thought of me above all. Father, we thank you for loving us. We thank you for calling us before the foundation of the world, Lord. We thank you for creating man in your eternal image. And we so look forward to that time with you forever. And we pray for all of those around us or that we know of that are not yours yet, that they would turn to you, they would repent, they would come, they would receive. Thank you, Lord. Bless each one here this morning, and as already prayed in some respects, bless those who aren't here. And Lord, may we be just loving you today and blessing your name, praying as you would have us to pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.